Oh, there's Judy. Great.
So, yeah, we have... Yay, Judy's here. Hey, you made it.
I think so. Did you have popcorn?
Wish. Are you ready, Carla?
Yes. And BTS is coming, just as backup.
I'm sorry?
BTS is going to come over, send somebody over.
Just in case. Great.
Okay, very good.
I'm ready now. Thank
you. Oh, you're welcome. We'll see.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is the afternoon session, September 20th, 2017, at the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman. Udaly.
Here.
Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Wheeler.
Here. Basic rules of the road during testimony, everybody respect everybody else. Thank you. Please call the first item.
Item 1040, proclaim September 24, 2017 to be first annual Salmon in Our City Day.
Excellent. Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And I have a longish opening statement. So first, I want to apologize for the timbre of my voice. One of the byproducts of the treatment regime I'm in now is I'm on a steroid, which means my cherished goal of once playing in the NFL has been dashed. But it changes the tone of my voice, and it makes it sound worse than it is, and I apologize, but I'll do my best. Colleagues, it is a great honor to lead the Bureau of Environmental Services, and today I get to acknowledge the successes of my team and to celebrate their community partnerships to restore and to protect salmon habitat in Portland. It's hard to overstate how important salmon are to our region, a key marker in how we're treating our environment. Salmon are our history, integral to the life and culture of indigenous people. And they're our future. As our city was built out, we've made poor decisions in the past. We built culverts, and we eliminated habitat, resulting in fewer salmon returning from the Pacific. In 1998, steelhead were designated as threatened under the Endangered Species Act, and in 1999, salmon were too. It was our wake-up call. And since then, we've made significant investments in salmon recovery and in our urban watersheds. We're cleaning up the Willamette River, replacing culverts with fish-friendly alternatives, and prioritizing stream restoration. What we do locally matters a lot. Portland is the key location for salmon recovery in Oregon and beyond. Every salmon headed to the Bull Run watershed, eastern Oregon, or even all the way to Idaho passes through Portland. Mayor, maybe another tolling opportunity. Twice in the average lifetime. Here's what we're doing now. By coordinating our efforts across city bureaus, we became the first city certified as salmon safe. We've gone beyond the letter of the law to restore salmon habitat and to improve water quality. I'm so proud of the leadership role of the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau have taken in this work. The Water Bureau created a 50-year habitat conservation plan for the Sandy River that helped meet regulatory requirements for our Bull Run water supply. And the Bureau of Environmental Services has made culverts passable for fish while leading Portland's work to protect Endangered Species Act species. It's a mouthful. But perhaps our biggest success has been the restoration of Crystal Springs Creek. The Bureau of Environmental Services, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the Parks Bureau, and 21 other public and nonprofit partners like the Johnson Creek Watershed Council and the Crystal Springs Partnership came together and restored Crystal Springs over 8 years. And today, salmon can now swim the creek's entire length. Crystal Springs is a bright start, and we have so much more work planned. We're working with our congressional delegation, the Army Corps of Engineers, and ODOT to fund and break ground on 5 more projects, including Tryon Creek and the Columbian Slough. The good news is that we're doing better than we expected, sooner than we anticipated. Salmon are now found in 125 miles of Portland's 300 miles of stream. That's almost half. And nowhere are those streams healthier than in Crystal Springs. So today, Mayor and colleagues, we're celebrating that progress with two actions. We're proclaiming September 24th, the city's first annual Salmon in Our City Day, and we're designating Crystal Springs as Portland's first salmon sanctuary. Two very proud accomplishments. Here to tell us more are Caitlin Lovell, Science Integration Division Manager for BES, Rhonda Fast, Environmental Program Coordinator, and Emily Roth, Senior Planner at Portland Parks and Recreation. They will be followed by a panel of Crystal Springs partners, including Judy Bluehorse Skelton from Portland State University, Zach Perry from Reed College, Carl Lee from the Crystal Springs Partnership, and Joe Mitchoff, a fourth-generation Crystal Springs resident, and Dan Kent, Executive Director of the Salmon Safe. And later, as we designate Crystal Springs as the city's first salmon sanctuary, the mayor will read a proclamation. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Caitlin Lovell. I manage the Science Integration Division for the Bureau of Environmental Services. As Commissioner Fish stated, I'm joined up here today by Rhonda Fast, who's our Environmental Program Coordinator, and with Emily Roth, the Senior Planner for Portland Parks. We are part of an interbureau team that included the Water Bureau, the Bureau of Transportation, and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability here to talk to you today about the start of salmon sanctuaries in Portland. Salmon have effectively defined the Pacific Northwest. We have...
Just move a little closer to your mic. Yeah.
We have big trees because of salmon. We have rich agricultural centers in our valleys because of salmon. We have clean rivers because of salmon. And for the indigenous populations, they were an integral part of their culture, religion, and physical sustenance. Even the initial settlers harvested those big trees and built a whole fishing economy on the backs of salmon. We would live in a very different place were it not for salmon. However, we are at risk of losing that identity. Salmon have declined significantly throughout their range, including here in Portland. We've overfished them, blocked and degraded their habitat, polluted their water, and eliminated their spawning grounds, and yet they still return. When in 1998 the first steelhead were listed, the first of 13 listings, this council declared that their role was going to be to aid in the recovery of the species. And when they did that, people didn't think there was a lot we could do. And in fact, to this day, there are a lot of people out there who think that there isn't really a lot of habitat to be saved and restored in urban areas. And if you look at the maps, you can see where they come to that conclusion. Portland has 13 ESA-listed species. Seattle has 4. San Francisco has 7. LA and San Diego each have 2. So when you look at those numbers, it's easy to conclude that there's something terribly wrong in urban areas, and it's a lost cause. But in fact, Portland has 13 ESA-listed species because of where we're located. We are at the confluence of the 4th and 19th largest river systems in the United States. The land above Portland is, these rivers drain the land above Portland to the tune of 250,000 square miles. There's over 1,280 river miles above Portland. So every salmon trying to reach those lands and swim in those river miles are passing through Portland twice. So what happens here matters for the entire region. And there's a lot that's out of our control, and we can't lose sight of that. There are declining ocean conditions, and in particular, climate change, that are a big driver for what the future of salmon looks like. But today, Portland can stand tall because we've lived up to our commitment and are doing our part. Everything from restoration projects to how we do street maintenance, engaging the community in restoration activities, invasive species, land management, land acquisition, how we build and treat stormwater on our roads and impervious areas, all of that added up to us integrating and institutionalizing this notion of building salmon recovery into the way we do business. And that, in fact, led us to become the first city to be Salmon Safe certified. However, where we have really advanced and what's really exciting is the energy and the scale and the scope of how we've been doing business more recently. This is just a snapshot of Crystal Springs by the numbers. 21 partners came together over 8 years to result in almost half of the entire stream being restored, 9 culverts being replaced. We actually removed 33 acres of property, private and public acres, from floodplain. Those properties are no longer at risk of flooding.
So could you explain why that's a good thing? Doesn't that mean more is just flushing down somewhere else?
We removed the floodplains, the private property in the floodplains, by putting the floodwaters in places where it won't damage property. So we've shifted the floodplain. And in the process of doing that, all of that, we've rescued almost 61,000, over 61,000 different fish, including salmon and trout.
And where do you get those numbers from?
That is, every time we do a project, we go in and we actually physically rescue those fish. So those are hand-counted numbers. Each fish is measured and identified and then placed either upstream or downstream to keep it safe while we do our construction projects.
Wow.
Similarly, with the help of the Xerxes Society and the community, we've rescued 3,827 native mussels, which are a new foray for us. It's really exciting. Mussels actually depend on the gills of salmon to be able to distribute through the system. So this is very much a symbiotic relationship in this whole river system. And when
I've got to ask, how do you rescue a mussel?
You have a... it's a really cool process, and in fact, I am going to go back. This picture here that you can barely see, but in the middle of all the people standing in the lake there, that's what they're doing. They've got these periscopes, and they literally put these like magnifying glasses in the soil itself and then see where there's movement in the soil and quickly reach down and grab it.
Wow.
Yes.
They don't move very fast.
Thank you.
Yeah, they're very slow-moving creatures.
Sorry, and then what do you do with them?
Again, like the fish, we move them upstream or downstream to keep them safe while we're doing construction projects.
Okay, very good.
This has been so successful that ODOT just recently adopted this process for their recent project on Highway 99. And when we do that, and when we do it in this scale and with this intensity and with 21 partners, we create a culture and economy around restoration. And really, the results are measurable. We can test and see how the water quality has improved, how the habitat has recovered, and how many trees we've planted. But most importantly, we rely on the salmon to tell us how we've done. Is this working?
Yes.
So we're looking at a pair of coho salmon, male, which is the brighter colored, and the female, which looks like she has a white tail. That's actually the result of her scales losing their pigment as she digs in the sand and gravel to build a nest for her eggs. Coho salmon enter the Columbia River during the summertime, and depending on how long their journey is up to their spawning grounds, they usually start spawning in late summer, early fall. So here the male is encouraging the female to keep working on the nest, to keep laying eggs for the larvae. And here she goes, displacing sand and gravel in order to either dig a pit where she'll lay her eggs or to cover up eggs that she's already laid and the male has fertilized. And she'll continue to do this until she lays all of her eggs, usually around 5,000 or so. After laying the eggs and building the nest to her satisfaction, she'll sit on the nest protecting it from predators. It could be other fish or animals or humans. So now a second male has arrived in the vicinity of the nest, and both the male and the female vigorously defend it. Oftentimes the second male may be able to sneak in and fertilize a female's eggs, so the original male on the nest is usually vigilant about protecting his territory. So after spawning, the coho adults start to break down, and you can see the female's eye tissue already gone. Her body will start to break down, and once she expires, her carcass will then feed bugs that are living near the nest that her newly hatched fry in several months will be able to feed on.
So that was... Thank you.
Absolutely wonderful.
And that was filmed by our fisheries biologist, Melissa Brown, in Crystal Springs. And what's really exciting is that those eggs that were laid, if they survive, they will be returning as adults this year. And to talk about that, I want to turn it over to Emily Roth, who's going to talk about our activities on the 24th.
Hi, how are you? Nice to be here this afternoon. First, Parks was the first city bureau to achieve Salmon Safe certification, laying the groundwork for the city certification in 2016. And this year will be our fourth salmon celebration at Westmoreland Park. The original celebration was right after Crystal Springs was restored through the park in 2014. We saw salmon return at that celebration. At that time, we also opened up the nature play area that mimics the stream, boulders, and large debris now in the creek, both a wild success. This celebration is both for salmon and for the community. Our partners and tribal nations participate with a salmon bake, storytelling, and watershed education activities. And finally, the salmon celebration is on the Sunday Park Waves route. We encourage everyone to ride their bike or walk to the park. We hope you can join us to enjoy nature in the city.
And this year, we're also unveiling a new virtual tour that Rhonda will describe.
So going live this week, it's a new way for the public to experience Crystal Springs Creek and to learn about Crystal Springs Creek. In 2010, BES and the Crystal Springs Partnership developed a wildly popular walking tour map guiding people along the length of the stream in the heart of the city and exposing them to the story of Crystal Springs. And there's a long, wonderful story of Crystal Springs. To build off the success of this tour, we received an innovation grant to test out the idea of developing this tour on a digital platform. With a consultant, we explored platforms to host the tour, developed content, and put it all together using Story Maps feature in ArcGIS. Features on this web-based tour are videos by Capstone students from Portland State University, and a feature that was done on Crystal Springs Creek by OPB, and audio from experts, educators, and advocates, many of whom are actually in the audience today. And then photos and links for people to get involved as well. And the idea was to tell the story of Crystal Springs from multiple perspectives in a way that's educational, compelling, accessible. And it can be used either as a complement to this walking tour map on a mobile device or anywhere in the world on a desktop computer. So we also put together a toolkit so that tours like this can be developed and used by other projects, other geographies, other bureaus, so that it's something that we can carry forward beyond just Crystal Springs.
And I think that's really important here. Crystal Springs is just the beginning of this story. We really wanted a way to celebrate our investments, to recognize the incredible community efforts that have gone into this restoration project, and to build momentum for continued improvements. There are more Crystal Springs stories out there. But true to the Portland way, we wanted to do it in a way that had this robust scientific vigor behind it. And so we decided that we would designate the best of the best streams as salmon sanctuaries. A salmon sanctuary is a result of public investments in restoration rivers and streams in the city that have conditions for salmon to thrive. We chose the top 10 criteria for salmon, and there are criteria that we actually measure. So this is a quantifiable tracking tool. It will not only help us identify when a stream hits that bar, that high bar of being a salmon sanctuary, but also on the remaining streams to help us focus on those areas where salmon need us the most. Today, we ask you to designate Crystal Springs as the first salmon sanctuary, and in the future, the very, very near future, we get to look forward to other systems, including Oaks Bottom, one of our highest profile restoration projects going forward next summer with Portland Parks and the Army Corps of Engineers, trying to reconnect the Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge to the Willamette River, and doing so in a way that not only benefits salmon, but benefits turtles, amphibians, all of the native vegetation, and helps us get an upper handle on the invasive species in Oaks Bottom. As well, Miller Creek and Forest Park, a little-known creek that very few people have visited, but is one of the only Forest Park creeks that has a direct connection to the Willamette that is passable by fish. So we need to do a little bit more monitoring there to confirm that fish are getting up there. And then Tryon Creek, as Commissioner Fish mentioned in his opening remarks, we have authorization from Congress. It was signed by President Obama in December of 2016 to replace this culvert, and we are currently working with our delegation to secure funding through the appropriations process. So stay tuned. More to come. We're really looking forward to coming back to you on an annual basis with more success stories.
Presentation was such a great presentation. Caitlin, Rhonda, and Emily, thank you. Grab a seat. We'll have you back if my colleagues have questions. And now I'll invite our stakeholder panel to come forward. Judy Bluehorse Skelton from Portland State, Zach Perry from Reed College, Carl Lee from the Crystal Springs Partnership, Joe Mitchoff, a fourth-generation Crystal Spring resident, and Dan Kent, Executive Director of Salmon Safe. You could all come forward. Sounds like five. We can squeeze.
The microphones can be moved around as well and shared.
Welcome all. Judy, would you kick us off?
Oh.
Or whatever your sequence is.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Commissioner Fish.
Hi. They merged.
He was at our very first salmon celebration at Westmoreland Park with your son.
Yes.
I'm Judy Bluehorse Skelton, Tots May We. It's an honor to be here and excited to be part of celebrating salmon in our city. They've always been here, and it's exciting to see everybody working together to ensure that they will continue to be here and thrive. That first salmon celebration at Westmoreland Park was the culmination of so many partnerships coming together. The first time I took students down into Reed College Canyon to look at the habitat that Zach Perry was working on, we knew something was going on. The students said, can we learn at PSU how to be a keeper of the canyon like Zach Perry is at Reed? This was probably at least 12 years ago, and we're closer to that now at PSU's Indigenous Nation Studies program than ever. Salmon are our brother. As the presentation indicated, Indigenous people of this region, Salmon Nation, we are still very involved with the management and the ceremonies, the blessings, and the traditional protocols for salmon so that they will continue to return to us. We carry a part of the salmon in our heart, and they carry a part of us with them. And so it's a very exciting time. The Native American Community Advisory Council to Portland Parks and Metro have been meeting for over 5 years monthly and are part of the community that continues to get out in the field. I just came in from a Metro site, Quamish Prairie, where the community is out meeting with some of the scientists with Metro talking about camas, cattail, and oak savanna restoration around the city. This summer, the Native American Youth Environmental Corps were actually at Oaks Bottom gathering mussels, learning how to do and use those techniques with Parks Natural Steward Person Isabel LaCourse showing us how to gather and move them, getting ready for that culvert. I think every fourth grader in Portland recognizes their identity as salmon people. They can tell you the life cycle of salmon better than a lot of us older folks. And I applaud that the city is going to start with this day, but we're already looking at how to make it Salmon in the City Week and Salmon in the City Month and maybe Salmon in the City forever. So, Katsi Yao Yao, thank you for all of those who've been working to make this happen. Just another element of celebration, Oxbow, which has been closed due to the fires. We are working with Metro to revive Native participation at their salmon celebration, the Salmon Homecoming, which will be October 21st and 22nd, 11 to 4 both days, with drumming, the ceremonies of returning the, as you saw, the male and female after they sacrifice their life so that the next generation can live. And we will have those ceremonies as well. There are teachers. We're all serving. We're all sacrificing our lives so that the next generation can live. And I'm really honored to be part of this community. Katsiaoya.
Judy, thank you very much. Zach Perry, could you give us a perspective from Reed College?
Yes, sir. Council, thanks for having me today. I'm Zach Perry. I'm the Canyon Restoration Manager. I've been overseeing an active restoration of Reed College Canyon for the last 19 years. In the center of our campus is a 28-acre headwater forest where Crystal Springs emerges from a series of underground springs and provides our campus and the surrounding city with the cleanest, coldest water source in the Portland metro region. Reed College is dedicated to protecting this resource and has made a commitment to being long-term stewards of this waterway. Part of our goals is to ensure that this clean water resource leaves our campus within the banks of Crystal Springs Creek as valuable as it has entered. We are committed to improving the functions of the surrounding forested habitat by removing invasive species and reestablishing native plant communities, and will continue to adapt our management practices to accommodate for the ever-growing diversity of native species, such as beavers, otters, owls, frogs, steelhead, chinook, and coho salmon. Reed Canyon and the Crystal Springs Creek that flow from it provides Reed students and over 1,500 public school children a year an opportunity to access safely a complex urban green space for ecological-based studies and a beautiful public area to recreate for the broader community. Beginning in 1999, Reed College coordinated with your city staff and other local agencies to build a fish ladder in the center of our campus, which now connects the spawning corridor for salmon to the upper spring source for the purpose of juvenile salmon rearing. We have also worked with your staff to build retention swales along 28th Avenue to reduce contaminated stormwater to enter the fragile freshwater system, and worked with BES to introduce the first of a series of culverts at the western edge of our property to allow migratory species to reach Reed Lake, the oldest natural occurring lake within the city limits, built originally by beaver. I'm here today representing Reed College and sitting amongst my peers to show my support for the recognition of Crystal Springs Creek to be identified as a salmon sanctuary and that September 24th be recognized as the first salmon in our city day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Perry, very much. Carl Lee from the Crystal Springs Partnership.
Thank you very much. My name's Carl Lee. I'm the co-chair of the Crystal Springs Partnership. I want to thank the City of Portland for their focus on Crystal Springs Creek. On behalf of the Crystal Springs Partnership and our partnership with the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, we're happy to be here today. Many of my Crystal Springs Partnership colleagues are here in the audience. Our message is, kind of our tagline is, connect, protect, and restore. And in pursuit of a 5-minute talk, I'm going to kind of stick with the connect piece, as the connect piece kind of helps sort of glue the whole thing together. We're connecting people with the creek. Let me tell you a little bit about the partnership. This is a stream that's accessible by transit, pretty much a 5-minute walk from the 19 bus, the light rail, the 75 bus, the 70 bus. We're in the city here, and we have an amazing resource that's accessible to many, many people. We're not way out in the boondocks. We're right here in the city. We have students that come help us, all kinds of access in the city. So we connect people with the creek, and we're also educating people about what this place is. You know, we're educating the connection among the wildlife in Crystal Springs Creek. The salmon, kind of, they get the name today, but it's like the whole village kind of concept, because when you bring the salmon up, everything else follows. We're teaching people about how beavers and salmon interact, wood in the stream, building dams, providing habitat for the fish, how trees interact with salmon, again, wood in the creek, and we're planting like crazy. The beavers are chewing down the trees like crazy, but we're planting more, and so we're helping establish that, cement that message that it's, you know, there's connections here. And it was spoken about before about the mussels. This is a huge success story. We went about with the Xerxes Society rescuing freshwater mussels out of Westmoreland Park back when the duck pond was removed, and have done these projects as these culvert projects come up. As recently as just a couple months ago, we were in the dark with flashlights rummaging around underneath McLaughlin Boulevard, rescuing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of freshwater mussels. And again, here, an education piece, kind of ODOT, Oregon Department of Transportation, you know, they were all set up to rescue the fish, and this mussel thing just sort of became, you know, it got on their screen, and they said, let's go for it, you know. And so they provided us some tools, you know, we provided some expertise, and it was a hugely successful project. Another connection that the Crystal Springs Partnership is doing is connecting places on the map to the watershed. As recently as a few weeks ago, I was at a tabling event at a farmer's market, and I asked people if they are familiar with Crystal Springs Creek, and they sort of say no. And then I said, have you been to Reed Canyon? Have you been to the Rhododendron Garden? Have you been to Westmoreland Park play area? Have you been to Johnson Creek Park? And, you know, heads nod. And those places, and people say, oh, that's the creek. That's the creek that's there. And so we're trying to provide this view of that the creek is this linkage. The creek is the lifeblood that flows through these places. So we put together, as Rhonda mentioned, the walking tour map, and we're connecting the dots. We're taking people out, and we're providing the self-guided tour, and now the virtual tour is coming online. Another connection piece that we're providing is sort of the bigger picture. You know, your map up there kind of shows it, but we're going from Crystal Springs to Johnson Creek to the Willamette to the Columbia River to the Pacific Ocean. And the Crystal Springs Partnership is, you know, throughout sharing that message that we have a unique place here, and we have a gift to give, and we have an appreciation for that stream. Future salmon sanctuaries. Next year, the year after that, whenever it is, they're all in that line, and they're all due to benefit from the work that's been done on Crystal Springs. Another final connection piece is that our history here, and Judy mentioned this very succinctly, that, you know, the salmon celebration, indigenous people have been caring for this land for a long, long time, and part of our gig is to help share that message through the salmon celebration. And so we're, we want help with that education piece coming up on Sunday, this Sunday, by the way. So we're not exactly done here. Many of the culverts are done. Much of the work, the big bulldozer-type restoration work is done. But I think a really compelling piece for us in this salmon sanctuary designation is that, you know, we're still working on this. Education is still going on. Restoration is still going on. Memory, you know, sort of fades about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And we have to keep kind of reminding people over and over and over again what it is we're doing, why it's important, and why it really matters to the city. So we're helping bring up salmon recovery citywide. We've got a ways to go. As Caitlin pointed out, here's the thunder there. As Caitlin pointed out, we've got some tasks to do. One of them has to do with stream temperature. A lot of these criteria that we meet very, very well. We've got lots of water. The water quality is very good. The temperature is problematic. We're still working on part of our goal and part of our continued education pieces to keep people informed about that and to find ways to reduce stream temperature through the activities that we're doing. So again, the Crystal Springs Partnership thanks you very much. We look forward to sharing our successes over the next year and reporting back in a year.
Thank you, Carl. And we're going to call you back after a couple of panels. We're going to call you back for a special presentation a little later. Joe Mitchoff, fourth generation Crystal Springs resident.
Hi. Well, I'm actually the third of four generations to live on Crystal Springs. My grandparents moved to the Brooklyn from the Brooklyn neighborhood to the banks of Crystal Springs in 1967. And growing up, I saw pictures and heard stories of the early days of living on the creek. There were fond memories of the gravelly creek bed with many crawdads scurrying about and salmon bounding up the river in the spring and fall, banging their bodies against the creek banks. There were lots of them. My grandmother described Crystal Springs as a tale of two creeks after the Tacoma Street culverts were installed. Downstream, the water was fast moving and the creek bed was clear, much like it is today. However, upstream, it was a different story. The culvert was small and it was hard to imagine the whole creek could move through such a narrow tube. So the fish simply couldn't swim fast enough to make the journey. Over the years, the creek bed gradually silted in and salmon became a rare sight until they all but disappeared. When I was born, my family lived next door to my grandparents, so I grew up on the creek. It was always beautiful, but I don't remember a time it wasn't mucky on the bottom. It didn't stop us from wading in it, but we always came home a huge muddy mess. I remember vividly during heavy rains, the creek would back up all the time, an indication a log or a branch was clogging the culvert. And my grandfather and my dad took it upon themselves doing their neighborly duty to clear it with a long metal pole with a hook on the end of it. I still actually have the pole in my backyard, and I'm really grateful I don't have to use it these days. Growing up, I recall my grandmother saying many times, "I hope I live to see the day they take that culvert out." And thanks to all the hard work and effort on the BES and all the partners, my grandmother got to see her wish come true. She was beyond thrilled that those culverts were removed in her lifetime. The transformations occurring on the creek have great benefits for salmon and people alike. My regular running route takes me along both Crystal Springs and Johnson Creek, so I've seen all these changes. On 21st Avenue, where just a few years ago there was a duplex literally built on top of the creek that was prone to flooding, there's now a natural area with cool rushing water and a family of beaver. When I was a kid, Tideman Johnson Park was a foreboding and kind of forgotten place, often an illegal dumping ground. And now it's safe and it's a natural haven right here in the middle of the city. And finally, when I was a kid, the lake in Westmoreland Park was actually surrounded by dense, tall bamboo. And it was a really fun place to play hide and seek, but it was always muddy and gross. And today, with the restored wetlands, it's a joy to run on the causeway over the wetlands and watch the changes that are taking place every season. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank all the individuals and agencies involved in these improvement projects, especially Rhonda Fast and Caitlin Lovell. They are creative, dedicated people with a zen-like patience for the challenges that came up in the public part of this process. I'm grateful to them for their perseverance and the commitment of City Council to improve salmon habitat. And in closing, a really short story. Last summer, we had our neighborhood block party right on the creek, as we always do. And by good fortune, one of my neighbors spotted a salmon lazily swimming upstream, so we all stopped to check it out. It was exciting, in part because of its rarity, but it's really encouraging for me to know that the kids growing up in the neighborhood today won't be able to recall a time when there weren't salmon on Crystal Springs. So thank you and keep up the magnificent work for salmon and all of us.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And finally, Dan Kent, Executive Director of Salmon Safe, to put it in a bigger context. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Commissioner, and what an inspiring story of place. Last October, Portland became the first city in the world to complete a comprehensive assessment of its impacts in this watershed with a third-party verification organization, that organization, of course, being Salmon Safe. Working site-by-site across the city over more than 3 years, Salmon Safe and our independent science team evaluated the operations of city bureaus with respect to impacts on the urban Willamette watershed. That meant assessing everything from stormwater management at fire stations to how fire trucks are washed to Bureau of Transportation, street maintenance practices, even the products used in graffiti removal. It was a comprehensive and thorough audit of city operations. That work culminated last year with City Council accepting the findings of our science team's assessment and committing to improve operations with an eye towards protecting downstream water quality and prioritizing restoration actions across city bureaus. As Emily mentioned, this citywide effort by Portland was itself inspired by more than a dozen years of restoration work by Portland Parks as part of its long-term Salmon Safe commitment. And a lot of that work focused, of course, on Johnson Creek and Crystal Springs. Today, as others have noted, we have seen the leadership of BES, Transportation and Parks, among other bureaus involved in the Salmon Sanctuary's effort. It's an example of how the city is connecting the recommendations from our science team to strategically prioritizing Salmon Safe restoration opportunities citywide and taking action with results on the ground. We also see this effort, like the BES Watershed Report Card, as an important step by the City of Portland for greater transparency and accountability in its environmental initiatives, and we applaud that. In our work with cities up and down the West Coast, we see just what a leader Portland is on a whole host of environmental issues, climate change being the big one, but working also on the ground proactively in actions like creating urban sanctuaries for imperiled native salmon. You know, it's a creative idea, and we strongly applaud the city's actions. So congratulations to Portland on this first salmon sanctuary. It's an important step forward in the city meeting its commitment and claim to being the world's first salmon-safe city. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to ask the mayor to read the proclamation and ask our partners to stay seated because the proclamation is as directed to you as to anyone in this room. So, Mayor, would you do us the honor?
I would, and Commissioner, if I could take the liberty of reading a brief statement before in support of your efforts and please. In support of the efforts of people here today. I often say how important the Willamette River is for the city of Portland. For too long, we've turned our backs on this river, but now we're reconnecting to it by cleaning it up and making it a renewed home for our iconic salmon. Portlanders are once again swimming in the Willamette and treating it like the treasure that it's always been. The city must continue to create a future that embraces and strengthens our rivers for both humans and for our salmon. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability plays a critical role in reaching this goal, leading the way on climate change, the environment, and helping us to build a resilient city. The Climate Action Plan and supporting Climate Action Plan preparation strategy include a variety of approaches that will reduce human impacts in our urban area while expanding and improving habitat in and along our waterways. The River Renaissance established a vision for reinventing Portland's rivers, and many of you here had a great deal to do with that renaissance. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's river planning work continues to make that vision a reality. Nowhere is that more apparent than in the Central City 2035 plan, where the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has included sites for recreation, economic development, and habitat improvements along the Willamette River. Planning for the South Reach of the Willamette will begin in the next year. We know that when we take care of our environment, it takes care of us. We look to the salmon to see how we're doing, as Commissioner Fish noted, and today I'm proud to say that we're making strong improvements. We still have a lot of work to do, but examples like Crystal Springs
and the efforts that you have all collaborated on make great strides in a short amount of time to ensure that salmon not only survive here, but continue to thrive. And so it is my honor,
Mayor, if I could
Commissioner.
Excuse me, because I'm not able to read my notes. Can we also recognize other commissioners who may wish to make a
statement
before the proclamation? Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, and thanks to all of you. Thank you, Commissioner Fish. This has been an absolutely wonderful celebration of where we've come from, where we're going. I hope you're going to find ways to get somebody to put the movie as a public service announcement on many channels, to get OPB to do this story, to get certainly Channel 30 ought to be doing this on repeat loop over and over. I want to thank all the partners, the Environmental Services, the Army Corps of Engineers, TriMet, Crystal Springs Partnership, Metro, Johnson Creek Watershed Council, Audubon Society. I know there are others. All the neighbourhood associations have been involved in this. My park staff, our park staff, Emily Roth, Sandra Burtsos, Lynn Barlow, Mart Hughes, Betsy Redfern, Cindy Wright, Ali and Matthew Berger, Elizabeth Kennedy Wong, formerly Jim Shu Lin. I mean, there's really so many people who've been a part of making this so spectacular. And indeed, in addition to Caitlin Love and your team at BES, it's important to recognize that Dean Marriott was a big part of this. I remember vividly when I was young and enthusiastic and idealistic going to a celebration in Southwest where he talked about the ship of state of environmental services, which had been going in the gray direction for such a long time, and his determination to help turn that ship. So in partnership with people like Ivy Francis and Patrice Mango, some still here at BES, like Patty Nelson, Mark Wilson, and Amin Wahab, and then our partners formerly of Parks and now at Metro, Mary Rose Navarro. It's all of us, and I think that's what makes it really special, is that lots of people have had a hand in this. So if I might, in honour of the tribes who were the stewards of this land, who now, with the Treaty of 1855, we are responsible for continuing to do it in partnership with you. Katsiano, thank you so much.
Commissioner Udaly.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your hard work and for the lovely presentation earlier. I'm newer to this conversation than most of my colleagues, and I just wanted to share a couple comments. One is one of my favorite parts of the salmon story is what salmon bring not just to the freshwater streams, but to the adjacent ecosystems, which means land. I think that for some people, because fish are something that we can't necessarily see and rivers are just big bodies of water, they may not realize that the loss of salmon doesn't just impact our river, it impacts our land, it impacts plant, animal, and human life as well. So, and the other comment I want to make is how excited I am to move forward on our new eco-roof policy, because I understand that will also help the salmon. So congratulations on all your hard work.
Thank you. Commissioner Salzman.
Well, I just want to thank everybody who's played a role in helping Portland and indeed the Northwest become an area that really speaks proudly of its what it does for the salmon, as they have done so much for us and continue to do every day. And it really is emblematic of who we are as a people. So I really just want to thank all the people in the room today and all the people who aren't in the room today that have also played roles in the great work at Crystal Springs and elsewhere in our city. And I'm really happy to be here on this salmon sanctuary in our city day.
Thank you, Dan. So because I keep screwing it up, let me just give you the run of the show. We're going to do a proclamation from the mayor. We're going to do a presentation to our friends at Crystal Springs, and we're going to have Mike Houck at a moment like this. Of course, Mike Houck must be here. And Mike, to kick off a new annual tradition, we've asked him to read a poem. So that will be the sequence, starting with our mayor.
Very good. Whereas wild salmon and steelhead have been a source of life, food, and ceremony for the indigenous people of this land since time immemorial, sustained nearly 150 species of fish and wildlife that depend on them, are an indicator of clean and healthy rivers, and are a symbol of vibrant, resilient, livable city, And whereas wild salmon and steelhead in Portland were on the brink of extinction and remain in perilous condition in the face of continued habitat degradation, overharvest, competition from hatchery fish and other invasive fish, and climate change. And whereas all salmon and steelhead in the Columbia River and Willamette River rely on Portland's rivers and streams to survive their journeys to and from the ocean, since 2000, the City of Portland is committed to helping recover these wild salmon and steelhead. And whereas the City of Portland and its partners, residents and business owners, have lived up to this commitment by investing in projects that help improve water quality and restore habitat in Portland's rivers and streams through the Big Pipe, Foster Floodplain Natural Area, culvert removal in Crystal Springs, stream and wetland restoration in parks like Westmoreland Park and Butterfly Park at Stevens Creek, and the Salmon Safe Certification. And whereas the City of Portland envisions a future for salmon and steelhead by establishing strong land use laws under the comprehensive plan, acquiring and protecting remaining natural areas, and providing educational and stewardship opportunities for Portlanders. And whereas salmon are returning to Portland's rivers and streams. And whereas continual recovery in a climate-changing future will require numerous sanctuaries of refuge that provide cold, clean water, suitable habitat, abundant food and shelter, and plentiful spawning areas safe from predation and competition. And whereas Portland will continue to improve and restore these salmon sanctuaries across the city's urban watersheds to support salmon recovery. And whereas, together with our partners in the community, we will celebrate these successes in salmon sanctuaries at the Salmon Celebration at Westmoreland Park on September 24th, 2017. Now, therefore, I, Ted Wheeler, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim September 24th, 2017, to be the first annual Salmon in Our City Day in Portland, and in honor of this day, do hereby declare Crystal Springs Creek to be the first salmon sanctuary.
May we suspend the rules?
So done.
Thank you, Mayor. If I could ask the invited guests to reclaim their seats for a moment, and I'm going to ask Carl Lee to keep your seat, and Daniel Newberry, Executive Director of the Johnson Creek Watershed Council. Sir, if you would come forward. Gentlemen, Crystal Springs is a model public and private partnership. It's an example of the great things Portlanders can do when we come together. Colleagues, two groups made a significant contribution to this project by hosting events like creek cleanups, tree planting, salmon surveys, and tours for school groups and international conferences. The Johnson Creek Watershed Council held over 30 events, with nearly 2,000 volunteers contributing over 8,000 hours in just 1 year. Truly remarkable. And the Crystal Springs Partnership, which is only a few years old, held 6 events with over 150 volunteers just last year. One particularly notable day, Philip Nossler, an intern with the Johnson Creek Watershed Council, discovered 2 new species of dragonflies. I'm proud to say that Philip is now interning with the Bureau of Environmental Services. Today, colleagues, in honor of this great work, the City Council is proudly awarding the Johnson Creek Watershed Council and the Crystal Springs Partnership a $5,000 grant to continue their stewardship and restoration efforts. Thank you, Daniel and Carl, for your help in making Portland a home for wild salmon and for helping us restore our urban watersheds.
And the best part.
Mayor, would you do the honor for me? Would you present the check, Mayor?
I'd be happy to. Quick, run.
Caitlin, would you come up for a second?
Gentlemen, use it well. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You think this check is good? Wait till you see the credit card that goes with it. Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We're almost done. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. I have one.
Please.
One little.
Please come forward.
Step over the bench.
Why not? We'll just let this. I don't see the security guy.
Okay. I have a bandana for each of you.
Well, thank you very much.
This is the 2017 hot off the press bandana that we share with our volunteers and all of our lovely people.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and congratulations to all of our partners. Mike Houck, would you please come forward? We could not kick off a new annual celebration without having our friend Mike Houck here, a champion for urban green spaces and watersheds. And Mike has graciously agreed to read a poem. Mike, welcome.
Well, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, I hate to contradict you right off the bat, but I'm not going to read a poem.
He's
going to
sing it. Excellent. That's going to be great.
The suggestion came about. I got a call from staff asking if I'd be willing to come in and read a poem that was similar to what we do each year for the last 31 years for Great Blue Heron Week. When we adopted the heron as our official city bird in 1986, I wrote a letter to William Stafford, who was then Poet Laureate for the state of Oregon, and ask if he would pen a poem to commemorate the heron, and he did. And you're all aware of it, the spirit of place. It's one of the most moving things I've ever read. I said no to me reading a poem today for two reasons. One, first thing I did was ask if Judy Bluehorse Skelton had been invited to speak today, because if somebody's going to be poetic, it's not going to be anybody but Judy Bluehorse Skelton, in my opinion. The second thing was, I'm not a poet, and I couldn't think of something that was not generic. I think we need something specific to the place to really celebrate the return of salmon on Johnson Creek and Crystal Springs Creek. So what I'm going to suggest, and again, Judy brought up the potential for Great Blue Heron, or I'm sorry, Salmon Week, Salmon Month. I'm not sure if she had in mind a salmon year. But for the future, for next year, I'm going to suggest we have three really great authors in Portland. Robin Cody, obviously Kim Stafford, and David James Duncan. And what I chose to do is read a very brief excerpt from The River Wye. I don't know how many people on council or in the audience have read The River Wye, but it's very inspiring. He dedicated The River Wye to the defunct Fairview Creek and the diseased body of Johnson Creek. And he and I have had arguments over, he moved to Montana to kind of get away from what's going on in the metropolitan region. I said, there is no way, David, there are going to be issues there as well. So I think it would be interesting to bring David Duncan back to Portland to show what's happened on Crystal Springs Creek and Johnson Creek and engage him maybe in coming up with some inspiring prose, if not poetry, to celebrate. This morning, by the way, I was 8 o'clock this morning speaking to a group of conservation educators from around the country and describe what we've done over the last 40 years, this being one example. And they said, how do you keep going? How do you keep your energy up, your optimism? And I said, come to city council today at 2 o'clock, and you will find out why. And I think we need to do this kind of celebratory action more frequently than we have in the past. So I think I'll just paraphrase what I was going to read, because we've been here quite a while. Just say that in starting the River Wye, he was basically suffering from writer's block. And his friend suggested he go out on Johnson Creek, which he did. And he caught a steelhead. He actually caught a steelhead. And as he was bringing the fish up, three guys drove up in a van. And they looked out at this guy who was actually in his street shoes and street clothes, but he had jumped into Johnson Creek to land the steelhead. And they told him they had just been to the Coquille River, and they got no fish whatsoever. And he noted shortly thereafter the three guys were standing on a bridge over Johnson Creek all trying to catch a fish. What I would like to read is very poetic, not a poem per se, but I think it relates to the video we saw. He got into the stream and saw a male.